When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's a destination. We are finally here.
Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of Destination Dynasty. I am your gracious host, Scott Connor. You can find me on X at CharlesChillFFB. Check out everything at Destination Devi over at DestinationDevi.com. Join the Discord, get access to the bonus content. You can join through the website, either the Destination 5 tier or Patreon.com/AllGas. The options between the Trades in 5 tier and the Heisman tier get you access to the bonus content, to the stages and to the AMAs that we do in the Discord each week. And finally, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast feed, both this one and the Wake Up with Ray G feed, along with both Dynasty Trades in 5 and Destination Devi over on YouTube. Give us a like, give us a follow over there. It's greatly appreciated. And with that, we are going to get right into today's show. This is going to be a follow-up episode to the quarterback show that I did near the end of the season. I've obviously released a bunch of content both here and other platforms talking about roster construction, and specifically we're going to focus on lineup league roster construction. We'll have some application to best ball, but for lineup leagues, one of the major components of my strategy going into 2024 was the any quarterback on a two deep strategy. So any quarterback on a two deep, defined more simply as any quarterback that is a starter or a backup. And we're going to make some assumptions for purposes of this show. It is deeper rosters. So if we use the roster construction series, we're talking 12 teams, start 11, 30-man rosters, enough to where you say, I have some viability to stash players on my bench. If you're talking much shallower, if you're talking 10-team leagues, the viability just isn't the same. The strategy isn't the same. But if you're looking at roster construction in the lens of a 12-team start 10, even 12-team start 11, but deeper rosters, meaning 60% or more of my roster spots are not starters, this strategy starts to become the dominant strategy in terms of roster constructing. And I've gotten some pushback. Before I get into the episode, I just kind of want to talk about this. I've gotten some pushback from people saying, you know what, you don't really need to roster construct this way between January and, say, June. What they mean by that is you look through the teams and you say, why are you carrying a bunch of these backup quarterbacks in January? Because to be fair, there have been a lot of backup quarterbacks that have already been replaced. Guys that you thought had a chance to be a backup, now they're not because the team has gotten another backup that moves ahead of them on the depth chart. Now, some of them are going to change. There's going to be players that come out of nowhere and win backup jobs. There's going to be guys we think are backups that don't cut it and they don't make it. There's going to be rookies that come in, not just starting quarterback rookies, but even some second, third rounders that we're probably sliding in as backups but end up starters. But then also some rookies that are late round picks that end up being the backups or are going to be valued as the backups. So there's going to be a lot that changes. But the argument was, why do I need to roster them now? And a couple things before I get into the show. And by the way, today's episode is going to be going through every depth chart. And we're going to talk about the backup quarterback landscape, the starters and the backups and what it looks like where we stand post-free agency, because there's been a lot of stuff that's changed. But here's the theory. The theory is, and you can go through the depth charts, and when we do, you'll kind of be able to spot what I mean by why you want to kind of get ahead of this. And it's for two reasons. One, it's usually easy to get ahead of it at a cheaper market price than what you would have to do at other positions. And in this regard, part of it is it's not the dominant strategy. There's a lot more teams now across your league that are probably going, ooh, any running back on a 53. I kind of like that strategy. So what is it harder to do if more people start adopting that widespread? Stash every running back on a 53. If anything, a lot of my leagues, the running backs are already picked through. You look at the average team, they're probably rostering more running backs than they were a couple years ago. So that strategy, not that it's not the correct or the optimal strategy, it is, but it's harder to do. So that was the main reason that I wanted to get ahead of the quarterback strategy, even though there's a lot of turnover. And one of the arguments is that a guy like Clayton Tune is just a dead roster spot. True. Can't move him for anything. Even if he, quote unquote, hits in the offseason and is named the backup, you still can't do anything with him. He is a pure roster construction player. But given how slim I'm going to go at receiver, given how little I care about not having more than two tight ends, and given how hard it is to kind of roster any running back on a 53, because a lot of teams are doing it, by default, I found myself at the end of the year going, I'm just going to roster more backup quarterbacks. And I'm not doing it because those are something I can move. I'm doing it simply because that is the lowest hanging fruit that has the most availability in my league. If I want to A, roster construct the way that I do, but B, what's the easiest to do compared to A, carrying a bunch of roster cloggers, or B, trying to get every running back? And you just can't do that at this point. So I pivoted to this and I said, I'm going to lean into it. And that was a major component of my quarterback roster construction going into 2024. The second reason is you've seen a lot of movement. And people will ask all the time, yeah, you keep telling me to get all these backup QBs. True. I do. I don't want to pay. I want to pay very little, if not anything, to get these backup QBs. That is the biggest key to the strategy. It is not wait until a guy is a backup and then go pay a third to get the backup. If anything, that's the opposite of what you want to do. Because you want to have draft picks so that if you ever needed to buy a third or a backup QB for a third, you do it when you can start them. I want to pay the third price for a spot start QB that I need. I don't want to pay the third price for a backup QB that I'm not sure I'm going to need just to form my roster construction. I want to take advantage of the fact that other people will not value these backup QBs. Other people don't value the backup QBs until it slaps them in the face that, hey, that could actually be a good backup that I should probably pay attention to. But most people aren't thinking that way. Meaning what happens is from the end of the dynasty season until the summer, when the rookie drafts are starting to hit and people have to make cuts to make their rookie picks, there's this weird period where backup QBs have very little value to people. So what do you see? And it's not in every league, but you legitimately will see teams go, oh, I don't need Mitch Trubisky. I'll just cut him. And I'm the team going, okay, I don't love Mitch Trubisky. He's probably not one of the higher end backups, but you know what? He's a backup. He signed a real contract. He is a locked in backup on what we think could be a good offense. So you know what? I will take him. But the key is, I'll take him for free because you cut him. I saw some Drew Locks get cut in leagues. Why? What are you cutting him for? And it's interesting. You go back and look at the moves of who people picked up for him. And it's, I picked up Jawan Jennings after the playoffs. Things like that where you go, it just makes no sense, but people do it. So I want to take advantage of this window where other people will cut backup QBs. Now they're not, nobody's cutting Sam Darnold. Nobody's cutting Jacoby Brissett. The good backup QBs, of course not. But you'll see these lower end backup QBs that are kind of just names, but the reality is they're just like running backs. Mitch Trubisky could go from a washed out backup nobody wanted, and that's what happened, right? He was the third QB in Pittsburgh. Mason Rudolph was playing over him. People cut him. Now he signs with the Bills on a decent deal and he's the backup. He goes from gone right back into the backup role. Now you can debate or not whether he's good. That's not the point. The point is if you're trying to fit the roster construction part, you've seen him cut. Drew Lock, I've seen him cut. Tons of backups that I'm rostering right now, I've seen cut. I've picked up shares of Mitch Trubisky, Andy Dalton, Tyson Badgett, picked up a Jameis Winston in a league, have picked up some Joe Flacco, picked up a Mike White that got cut because he didn't get in last year for Tua, but he's probably still the backup to Tua. Picked up a Drew Lock. Numerous Tyrod Taylors have been cut in leagues. What's happened to Tyrod Taylor? He's the backup on the Jets, on a guy that's 41, thinking about becoming the vice president candidate and has a torn Achilles. But people cut Tyrod Taylor, well, because he was behind Tommy DeVito. So you can accumulate these guys for free. That is the whole point of this strategy, is I never want to pay anything to get them. Over time, and it'll probably take me a year, but over time, I may be able to accumulate some of them. Over time, I may be able to find 5 or 6 free backup QBs. There will be deals where someone's willing to throw in a backup QB. And we'll talk about different levels of backup QBs and kind of what this means. But the key is I want to start building my core roster construction of backup QBs. I think on the roster construction series, the target number was around 12. Let's call it 10 to 12. Let's call 30 to 40% of my roster spots I want to have allocated to QBs. But I never want to pay anything for any of those outside of my core 2 starters. I don't value the backups if I have to give up anything for them. And that is the key. So we're going to go through it, kind of talk through the levels of that and why I think that is the reason that it's such an exploitive strategy. It's not only because it's optimal, but it's because people don't understand it. And until they do, the ability to basically build this construction and build this value up for free, that is the key. The key is this is cheaper to build up than other stuff. It's cheaper to build up than any running back on a 53. It's cheaper to build up than accumulating threshold receivers. Because right now, with the craze of threshold receiver markets, any good receiver costs you a pick. Go try to buy a receiver that's worth less than a first. Christian Kirk, Deontay Johnson, Hollywood Brown. They're hard to buy straight up for something because the person that has them goes, that guy's probably worth a first. You're not paying a first, but you get the point. They're very hard to accumulate when somebody else has them. Meanwhile, the low-hanging fruit is these backup QBs will just be sitting out there and people will cut them. So that's what we're going to talk about more through this theory. I'm going to go through each situation, talk about their depth chart, talk about whether I think the team is a candidate to draft a starter or acquire a backup, whether that's through the draft or through free agency or a trade. And we'll just kind of talk through how these things are starting to settle. Who are the ones you want to be checking for if you're roster constructing this way? It's a fun episode. This is one of the ones that I enjoy the most. I mean, it's kind of a sicko dynasty aspect to my game, but I love just literally grinding who are the starters and who are the backups. Something we used to do on America's Game all the time was just talk through the depth charts. So that's what we're going to do today, and we're going to focus on any quarterback on a 2-deep. So let's get into it. And one thing I would be remiss if I didn't go over before we go into the depth charts is being able to understand why all of this matters. Go back, listen to the roster construction series, the lineup roster construction series specifically, where I talked about the QB theory. And go and run the war in your league. Plug your league in, run the war, look at the super flex replacement value, look at the QB replacement value, and look at the war line for quarterbacks. And when you look at that war graph, you'll probably see that the replacement value at QB hits 0 right around QB 15 to QB 20. And what that means is that you're probably in a range where on a weekly basis, and again, you have to look at that graph on a weekly basis. Pretend like you were looking at this as a snapshot of this is what is optimal on a week-to-week basis. That if you are starting a QB that is at the bottom of that range, close to 0, if you are starting a QB that is QB 20 on the week in a superflex, you're essentially starting replacement value. Now, what does replacement value mean on the market? To a lot of us, replacement value on the market is essentially exactly what that is, replacement value. What can I replace a random QB in that range with? And what's the cheapest way that I can do it? And when you look at it, you go, okay, I could have Derek Carr, who's probably in that replacement value right there, or I could have a backup QB that just happens to have to be starting that week. But if they are, they're probably very similar to Derek Carr. Now, they don't have the value that Derek Carr does, but his value is because he's guaranteed to have that role for most of the weeks. The difference between Derek Carr and Jake Browning on a week-to-week basis is nothing. The difference between them and Dynasty is one of them has a job, one of them is a backup. So you understand the theory is that if I can have the capacity to roster as many of these backups as I can hoard, then I can essentially recreate free value that is in the Derek Carr, that is in the Baker Mayfield, the Geno Smith, the Russell Wilson range for free, legitimately for free. But the power isn't in one player. It's not in one Drew Lock or one Tyrod Taylor. It's that I have the ability to roster construct around the fact that I have a dozen of them. I'm casting the widest possible net so that if I don't have a Derek Carr, or if I don't want to pay the league's market price for one of these replacement level QB2s that they're going to gouge me on if one of my starters gets injured, I can defeat that by having the most optimal roster construction, which is what we talk about in the roster construction series. So let's get into it. We're going to start going through the depth charts. We're going to go through team by team in alphabetical order. And I'm just going to talk about what I'm doing with each depth chart. Dynasty Portfolio Weekly later this week is going to kind of expand a little bit on how I'm maybe playing the current market from a portfolio perspective to try to get more of these backups, because there's going to be obvious situations where you can't get the backup or the perceived backup. You have to pay, and I want to have some exposure, but that'll talk a little bit more on some creative ways to maybe exploit that, because that's going to be one of the main things I try to do between now and the draft, is understanding draft pick war and understanding that if I can use some picks that are negative EV draft picks, that really the only value that the 309 has from a war perspective is that I'm picking a lottery ticket. You know, a lottery ticket to a lot of people is worth more than a dollar, but really the lottery ticket costs a dollar. So the idea being, well, I'd rather just have the lottery ticket because the dollar is expendable. That's how people look at the picks. So I want to try to gain some sort of value that I can guarantee myself. It's basically like saying, all right, instead of buying 1,000 lottery tickets for a dollar each, if I can buy 1,000 lottery tickets for $1.25 each, or I can get $1.25 in exchange for that lottery ticket, I'm making a locked in profit. So if you think about it that way, sure, if I spend $1,000 on lottery tickets, I spend $1,000 with the upside of hitting whatever the pot is, right? Whatever the prize, $500 million. But if I was guaranteeing myself a small rate of return on those $1,000 I would spend on a lottery ticket, right there, I've locked in $1,100 for the $1,000 that I spent. That's the equivalent of turning late picks into some backup QBs. And how do I do that? So I'll talk more about that on Dynasty Portfolio Weekly this week. But let's go through alphabetical order, each team's situation. So the Cardinals, they have Kyler Murray as starter quarterback, and they traded for Desmond Ridder. Desmond Ridder becomes their backup. Listen, Desmond Ridder has some stink on him, but the reality is he's a quarterback that has significant starting experience, and a team just prioritized trading for him and putting him in their backup role. So I love Desmond Ridder. He's probably a top 10 backup, maybe even top five, given that he's on a rookie deal, similar to Kyler Murray. Good system in terms of what they ran last year. I really like Desmond Ridder. That's a guy I want to build up my exposure to. And you may go, this is the only podcast I've heard that has ever said they want to build up their exposure to Desmond Ridder, but I do. But the key is I don't want to pay anything for Desmond Ridder. That's the key. I want more Desmond Ridder. I don't want to pay anything. But he's not on waivers, and you couldn't just go trade the 412 form. Maybe you can. If you can do that, I'm fine doing it. But the key is, how do I accumulate more Desmond Ridder without ever paying anything for him? So that's the key. But he fits into that group of, I want more exposure, but I want to pay nothing. So pretty clear cut. Kyler, the starter. Desmond Ridder, the backup. Clayton Tune. I've dropped all of my Clayton Tune shares in Dynasty. Now, these are fluid, because I'm going to mention a lot of guys that I've cut. These are fluid. Clayton Tune could resurface. But for now, in this strategy, I'm not wanting to hold him for a roster spot. So I'm going to talk about those. But again, this is a fluid thing where quarterbacks can pop back up. They become backups. They change teams, whatnot. Keep an eye on it. But for now, Clayton Tune is a guy that I can cut. Next team, Atlanta. Atlanta Falcons signed Kirk Cousins. Taylor Heinicke is their backup. They can still cut Taylor Heinicke and save some cap money, but I don't know if they do that. So for now, Taylor Heinicke is, again, a great backup. The Zach Robinson system, love Taylor Heinicke, especially with Cousins coming off an injury. I think he's definitely a top 10 backup, proven in the past to be start worthy in short spurts. So definitely Taylor Heinicke is a high priority backup as well. So really, the Desmond Ridder trade was awesome for this strategy. It shifted Desmond Ridder to a good spot for him, and it got rid of Desmond Ridder off of a team where there were two backups. And so now install Taylor Heinicke as the backup in Atlanta. Boom. We're in good position with both teams. So Atlanta and Arizona, very clear cut. Give me those two quarterbacks, and that's it. The next team is the Baltimore Ravens. So the Baltimore Ravens had Lamar Jackson, obviously, a starter. They had Josh Johnson last year. Now they re-signed him this year, and they also signed Malik Cunningham last year. So right now they're sitting on Lamar Jackson with Josh Johnson and Malik Cunningham. I'm rostering some Malik Cunningham, but Malik Cunningham also has a relationship with Lamar Jackson. That's probably one of the reasons that he's there. And I'm not sure if their backup is on their roster. Tyler Huntley is still a free agent. Haven't heard any rumblings about him coming back. I would guess no, because they just re-signed Josh Johnson. But I don't know if Josh Johnson or Malik Cunningham are the backups. Maybe they're fine rolling with those two. But I put Baltimore as a team that is potentially in the mix for a Justin Fields trade, but also in a mix to maybe draft another backup. So this is a team that I could see adding a backup. So if there was any to roster, I would roster Malik Cunningham. I would not roster Josh Johnson, but it's one of the teams that I put on the list as could acquire or draft a backup QB. Buffalo. So Buffalo got rid of Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen is a free agent. You can cut Kyle Allen off of your dynasty teams if you were hoarding any Kyle Allens as a backup last year. So he's gone. Insert Mitch Trubisky. So one for one. Right now, their starter's Josh Allen. Their backup is Mitch Trubisky. Sure, could they draft somebody? Yep, I had them on the list as a team that could draft somebody, but it's probably not the backup for next year, given that they give Mitch Trubisky a little bit of money to come in and be the backup. Remember, he was there 2 years ago. He left for Pittsburgh when he thought he'd get a chance to start again, and then he is back 2021. He was with Baltimore, or he was with Buffalo. So 2022, 23, he was with Pittsburgh. Now he's back in Buffalo as the backup. So good place for him to be, probably familiar territory. And good news for us is we have a clear backup in Buffalo for now. But that's a team that I guess you could squint and say they could bring somebody else in the draft, but probably set for where they are right now. The Carolina Panthers, pretty straightforward. Bryce Young, Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's getting a little old, but he's a guy that has always come in, performed when he gets the chance. He did it last year. He's the clear backup. Very straightforward. I don't see this team adding a quarterback at all, unless it's just a camp body. The Bears. So the Bears are an interesting one because the Bears are currently sitting on a pick where they're going to draft a quarterback. They're going to draft Caleb Williams. They still have Tyson Badgett, who proved to be a good backup quarterback last year. And they have Justin Fields. Now, I think it's unlikely that Justin Fields remains as their backup. But obviously, for now, you're probably sitting there going, man, I have Fields. And then Badgett, do I still keep Badgett? Because technically if Fields is on the roster, he's going to be the backup and Badgett won't. But I'm guessing Fields slides in as the backup somewhere else. And they just draft Caleb Williams and they go with Tyson Badgett. So I'm still holding on to Tyson Badgett for now. I think he will be the backup. He showed enough there last year. And it's the same regime that picked him and didn't pick Justin Fields. So I do think they probably prefer Badgett as a backup to Caleb Williams. So that's what I'm betting on happening. So don't cut Badgett, even if Fields remains on the roster for a little bit of time. The Bengals. So they have Joe Burrow and they have Jake Browning. Straightforward. This team could also add one, but they're not drafting a replacement. They're going to stick with those two. Now, I could see them drafting a mid-round QB, but not to be the backup right away. This could be one of those situations like last year with Jake Haener, where the Saints had Jameis Winston, they had Derek Carr, but they also drafted Jake Haener in the fourth. Probably a stupid pick, to be honest, because I wouldn't draft the guy in the fourth if I don't think they can be my backup pretty quickly. But I could see the Bengals doing it only because they like Jake Browning. But I think Jake Browning did enough last year where essentially the Bengals had Jake Browning in a chokehold this year. They had him as an exclusive rights free agent. So he's playing on an extremely cheap deal. They were able to retain him for one more year. But I'm betting if Jake Browning would have hit the open market, he might have been able to get a better deal somewhere else, more money. So I don't think they keep him long term. He's probably only their backup for one more season. So I could see them draft somebody. So I did put them in the category of could draft one, but not to be their backup. It's more of like the Jake Haener situation last year where you're hoping that guy can become your backup in 2 years when Browning leaves. So the Browns, they have Deshaun Watson. They signed Jameis Winston to a legitimate backup contract. I believe it was up to $9 million or $10 million a year for Jameis. So a real backup money deal. And out is Joe Flacco, who we'll talk about here in a little bit. And then obviously they drafted Dorian Thompson-Robinson last year in the fourth round. I've cut Dorian Thompson-Robinson. He got his shot. You couldn't have asked for better opportunity last year. They started him one game. Then he was out. They started PJ Walker over him. They brought in Joe Flacco off the couch to start over him. And now they've signed Jameis Winston to a decent deal to be a backup. So I've cut DTR. Some people are probably still holding on to DTR. Or DTR is probably rostered in 95% of leagues that you're in. But he can go. No reason to hold on to a guy like that. The team has spoken. Next up, the Cowboys. So the Cowboys let Cooper Rush go. and they have Dak Prescott and Trey Lance. Now, this is an interesting one because you may go, oh, Trey Lance, he's not any good. I think there's a world where Trey Lance is another guy. He's kind of like Ritter, but to a different degree. I want to try to get Trey Lance. I was buying Trey Lance from the end of the season until now. I was buying as much Trey Lance as I could get. I had none, but I ended up getting three Trey Lances in deals thrown in, and I feel really good about that. And not even because there were the rumors how he could go to Minnesota. Maybe he's going to get another starting job. I don't even buy any of that shit. What I do buy is that he is going to be the backup for Dallas. They gave up a fourth rounder for him last year. He's going to be in the backup in the Dallas for this year. So he's already going to get that role. But the second thing is there's a bonus that comes with a guy like Trey Lance. Two ways. One, if he's ever getting a spot start, people will be excited. Even if it's two games, people will be excited. Two, if he looks good at all in the spot start, if there's at all any sort of buzz that Trey Lance, man, maybe he could be a starter next year. You have this extra element of hopium that still exists with him. And I don't think it's unfounded. I do think he gets another chance somewhere, sometime. What does that look like? Is it a lame duck chance where he's starting the last four games on a 5-9 Cowboys team? And you're like, well, you know, he probably is cooked after this year anyway. It's the audition period, right? That might be what his chance looks like. But as long as there's fantasy games being played, there will be somebody that can talk themselves into giving you some more than just replacement value for Trey Lance. Maybe not a first, definitely not a first right now. But I guarantee you, if he gets a spot start or is in line to get a couple spot starts, you're getting a second. And I can't blame people because they're probably looking at it, man, if he looks good in these three starts, he might get a shot somewhere else. So Trey Lance is a backup I am prioritizing. I hate throwing him into deals. I had a deal the other day where just to get it done, I had to throw Trey Lance in the deal. And most people would go, what are you letting Trey Lance stop a deal from getting done? And I'm sitting there going, man, that's actually a guy I don't want to give up on. But savvy move by the other manager. Shout out to John Hogue, who I got the deal done with. Superflex dude. Savvy offer to ask for Trey Lance back because I legitimately thought about, man, do I really want to give him up? I didn't let it get in the way of the deal. But the point was, it was savvy to ask for him back. The Broncos. So the Broncos have Jarrett Stidham as their starter. Ben DiNucci is currently their backup. I have no interest in him. But probably the reality is Jarrett Stidham slides into the backup role and they draft a starter. I have them definitely drafting a QB, whether that is they trade up to get a QB, they sit back and wait and see if one falls, or they draft one in the second round. This could be a Bo Nix team. This could be a Michael Penix team. But this is a team that is definitely adding a quarterback. There's still a couple guys out there. Carson Wentz is still out there. Ryan Tannehill is still out there. Like, there's a couple guys they could sign, but I don't think this is a Justin Fields spot. Not at all. But I think it's one where they add another player. They add somebody to compete with Jarrett Stidham. It just depends on, is that a high pedigree first round quarterback or is that Spencer Rattler in the third? If it's the latter, one could be the backup, one could be the starter. Rattler probably has more value, but the odds of one being the starter over the other, probably 50-50. So keep an eye on Denver, but that is one that is definitely going to draft a QB in some form or fashion. The Lions, very straightforward. Jared Goff and Hendon Hooker. Goff is the starter, Hooker is the backup. I think they're going to give him a legit shot to be the backup quarterback. I know last year they had Teddy Bridgewater, but he retired, so you can cut Teddy Bridgewater if you have him on any of your teams, but this one's very straightforward for me. And I'll say this, because Jared Goff is a free agent, he hasn't been extended yet, and Hendon Hooker is a guy that essentially gets a full pass for last year because he came off the torn ACL, like Trey Lance. There's some ADV with Hendon Hooker. If he's ever in a place where, man, it could look like he starts for a month, you're going to want to have some rogue Hendon Hooker shares sitting on your team. So that is another one of those priority backups that if I can just sneakily get him thrown into a deal, I want to acquire more Hendon Hooker shares. The Packers. So the Packers have Jordan Love as the starter. Sean Clifford, I'm currently holding as a backup for the Packers. Do I think Sean Clifford's good? No. Was I shocked he got drafted in the fifth round last year? Yes. Did he ever even get on the field last year? No. Do I think the Packers are a candidate to bring in anybody else at backup QB? Yes. I have them in the category of they're going to get another QB. Maybe just to compete. Maybe they think Sean Clifford can be the backup, but they are adding another QB. And if it is a Carson Wentz or someone like that, I'm far more interested in that player than I would be in Sean Clifford. So I'm currently rostering Sean Clifford, but we're on very, very shaky ground with what the Green Bay backup situation is going to look like during the season. The Texans, so C.J. Stroud is their current starter. If you look at the backup QBs on the Texans, they currently have two, neither who I think are probably favorites to be the backup. So they currently have Davis Mills and Case Keenum. They started both those guys last year. Both of them are bad, but they're both under contract. Mills is still on his rookie deal. Case Keenum is on a vet minimum deal. So they could conceivably go into the year with both of them, but I'm guessing they don't. This is another team that I checked under could add another QB. Who that is, what that looks like, we don't know yet, but I put them down in the list of they're potentially interested in adding another QB, whether that's through the draft or whether it's through a trade or free agency of some sort. So the Colts lost Gardner Minshew, added Joe Flacco. Very clean. Joe Flacco signed a decent deal to back up Anthony Richardson. Smart for Flacco. He was not going to get a starting job, but I think he looked at what situation is maybe volatile. And there's an injury-prone, unproven quarterback that only played three games last year that I potentially could have an opportunity to get on the field again. So good deal for Flacco. Good move for the Colts, getting Flacco, a reliable guy that you could throw in if Richardson went down for any period of time. So very straightforward. Richardson the starter, Flacco the backup. That's it. No candidate to add another guy. The Jaguars, they obviously traded for Mac Jones. Trevor Lawrence starter, Mac Jones as the backup. Last year's backup was C.J. Beathard. I had a ton of C.J. Beathard. He had been around for a long time. He's still on the roster, but I would guess that he's no longer in the mix to be the backup and may not make it through to the season. Now, teams carry three QBs, but C.J. Beathard is one that even if he's on the Jags, I'm not interested in rostering him as of now. So it's Trevor Lawrence and it's Mac Jones. Listen, people don't like Mac Jones, but another one that I said on Twitter, I'm trying to buy Mac Jones. I'm trying to buy it. He's the backup price. He's the backup and he's bad and doesn't have any ceiling and people think he's a bust. So what can I get him for? I'm trying to get Mac Jones thrown into deals. I've been able to get a couple, but I'd like to get some more. But he's definitely one of those high priority backups, not just for what he could do on the field, but just because he's got former pedigree and he's got the ability potentially that if he had a window, you might be able to sell him for more than just replacement value. The Chiefs. Chiefs are up next. They only have Patrick Mahomes. They had Blaine Gabbert last year. Blaine Gabbert is a free agent. Currently, the Chiefs have Ian Book and Chris Oladokun as their backup QBs. I don't think either of those are backup QBs. This is a prime spot. My prediction for the Chiefs is they will get either Carson Wentz or they will get Zach Wilson. One of those two is their backup QBs. Or they draft their backup. Could go that route. But I do think that they're going to add a QB that we're going to want. Maybe they go back to Blaine Gabbert, but Blaine Gabbert's a free agent. Blaine Gabbert's the kind of guy you go back to when there isn't anybody else. Like, you can go. If we need you, Blaine, we'll call you in August because no one else is going to sign Blaine Gabbert. So I think they're kind of just waiting to see what becomes available. Can they get Zach Wilson for nothing? Now, the problem with Zach Wilson is it sounds like teams want the Jets to pay them to take Zach Wilson because his contract sucks. He's on a first-round contract. So even the cap hit there, it's like, man, I don't even know about this guy. Like, you're going to have to pay us to take him. But we'll see. If the Chiefs trade Legarius Sneed, there's a chance that they address their backup QB with one of these legitimate backup deals or they go get Zach Wilson. And I hate to say it, but Zach Wilson in an Andy Reid offense as the backup to Mahomes, like, as out as you can be on Zach Wilson, I'm right back in on getting more Zach Wilson if I can do that. So just one of those angles that if you wanted to make the bet that Zach Wilson's the one that ends up going to the Chiefs, get him now. He's worth nothing. He's worth zero. But you will want the Chiefs backup when there's a Chiefs backup. So if you're making that bet, Carson Wentz or Zach Wilson is the bet that I'm making right now that's going to be on the Chiefs in terms of their backup for the season. Next up, we have the Raiders. They signed Gardner Minshew to a two-year, $25 million deal. He's probably their starter unless they draft one. Now, they're in a unique situation because right now you have to roster Minshew, obviously. You have to roster Aiden O'Connell because they could just roll with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. And I think if they do that, there's a chance Aiden O'Connell starts half the games because Minshew's not conceivably that much better than Aiden O'Connell. But this is also a team that we have on the list as could draft a high-end QB as well. So I think this is one of those where you have to carry the two that you have. And if the Raiders were going to, I guess, be smart about it, they could probably roll into this year with just those two. But I also think if they get the opportunity to take somebody else, a quarterback they like in the draft, they would do that. Which then makes it a tricky situation. If they do that, then it's probably cut Aiden O'Connell time. which I don't think they would do that. I think they could trade Aiden O'Connell to another team for a sixth rounder, seventh rounder, right? Like, you could get something for Aiden O'Connell, but if they're tempted to draft one, now they're going to have three. So now they're in one of those situations where you still probably have to roster O'Connell because he wasn't bad enough last year to where he's going to get another shot to be a backup somewhere. But the plan isn't for the Raiders to have him as their backup if they draft another guy, even if they draft Nix or Penix or someone like that. Like, those guys leap O'Connell on the depth chart immediately. So it's a tricky one here, but you got to roster the two Raiders currently there. Oh, the Chargers. So the Chargers are a mess, but that would be playing it lightly. But the Chargers are very similar to the Texans, where, like, they technically have Easton Stick and Max Duggan, but Max Duggan's there for his second year. Easton Stick is back for his sixth year. My take on Easton Stick is he's not a viable backup. Even though he got on the field last year, I don't think he'll be their backup plan. I do think Easton Stick is somebody that Justin Herbert probably really likes. There's a reason they keep bringing him back. This is the third time they could have got rid of Easton Stick, and they brought him back for the second time after that. So I think Herbert probably really likes Easton Stick to be in the room with them, but I don't know if the Chargers like Easton Stick as their actual backup QB. So he's probably their third. I'm cutting Easton Stick. I'm fine cutting him. Even though technically on paper he's the backup, I'm fine cutting him. I think this is a candidate to bring somebody in. This could be a team. This could be a Carson Wentz team. This could be a Zach Wilson team. This could be a team that drafts one, but I definitely have them on the list as they are going to add another QB. The Dolphins. Dolphins are kind of like what the Raiders would become if they draft a high quarterback. You have Tua Tagovailoa as the starter, Mike White as the backup, but Skylar Thompson, who they used a draft pick and started in 2022 a little bit, as the third. I like Mike White, Skylar Thompson. That was a battle last year for the backup job. White won it, but that's because White probably was the favorite going in because he had the contract. So you kind of almost have to keep Skylar Thompson on the radar. I'm not wanting to roster much Skylar Thompson, but at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if we get to the start of the season and they go, Skylar Thompson beat out Mike White and Mike White is cut. Or Skylar Thompson is just the backup and they keep both. But Skyler's one that I'm not keeping right now, but you do have to keep on your radar just for that reason, that I think they're not going to add a backup QB, but I think they could go either way with who their backup's actually going to be, and you only want to roster the first backup, not the second. The Vikings, so they brought in Sam Darnold on a contract that is a good backup contract and a could-start-if-we-need-to contract, but I don't know if that's their plan. So currently, Darnold, Nick Mullins is the backup. Mullins is the guy they went to last year. So he's the backup that I'm rostering. After the signing of Darnold, Jaren Hall goes. You can cut Jaren Hall. And then there's a couple others that we'll mention that are still sitting out there. Josh Dobbs is another interesting one of these backups that I think could land in a spot. Josh Dobbs could be a guy that goes to Baltimore. Could be a guy that goes to Kansas City. I mean, Josh Dobbs is sitting out there. Guy with starting experience that's sitting out there. So I think that's another one where you go, okay, when he lands somewhere, he have to examine the depth chart to see what it looks like with Dobbs added. But for now, Vikings, Darnold, Nick Mullins is the backup. I'm not rostering Jaren Hall, but I think this is a candidate to draft a QB. All the smoke is that the Vikings are loading up to move up in the draft. And if they do that, then obviously it becomes Sam Darnold and whoever they draft. And then Nick Mullins is a guy that you can cut. But I'm playing it right now. I'm keeping Mullins just in case they don't draft one. The Patriots, another team, basically like the Vikings. They signed Jacoby Brissett as their starter, but he got a backup contract. He's probably a guy, if we have to start, we can. But just like Darnold, the plan is probably for them to draft a QB. Now, unlike the Vikings, they sit in a spot where they can get a QB if they want. So I'm playing it right now as Bailey Zappe as Nick Mullins. They are there as placeholders. They both have starting experience. They both played last year. They're both probably going to make the team. But they're both the third QB when a team drafts one. So I'm keeping them for now, but I'm keeping an eye on Zappe and Mullins is probably my next two cuts after the draft. Wouldn't be shocked if my next two cuts after the draft, when I see both of these teams invest in a high QB, Mullins and Zappe can go. But for now, I'm holding them. The Saints. So the Saints signed Nathan Peterman. All right. So I'm not rostering Nathan Peterman. I'll just put that out there. Even though they signed him and they're currently rostering Nathan Peterman, they also have Jake Haener as their backup. I'm rostering Jake Haener for now. But I already talked about earlier, like, they used a fourth rounder on Jake Haener. They essentially redshirted Jake Haener. Jameis Winston was their backup. And now they have the opportunity, when they lose Winston, to slide Jake Haener back in as their backup. but I also have this as a team that could add a QB. They could easily add another QB. Now, I think it's probably going to be a draft pick rather than a signing, because they literally signed Nathan Peterman. If they were truly interested in signing a free agent QB, they probably don't go get Nathan Peterman. But I think they add another QB. So I'm locking Jake Haener in as the backup, but there's a chance that if they bring another one in, if they draft another QB in the fourth or fifth round, they draft Michael Pratt in the fourth. Like, goodbye, Jake Haener. So keep an eye on it, but for now, I'm rostering Jake Haener. The Giants. So this is one of the grossest QB rooms. Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, Tommy DeVito. I've cut Tommy DeVito. They signed Drew Lock. They have Daniel Jones. Again, this is another team that's probably in the prime mix to potentially grab a QB. They're picking in a spot where they can grab a QB. They can move up if they want to grab a QB, but they're a candidate to grab one. Now, it'll be interesting because Drew Lock is probably one of the top five backups to hold right now. And part of that is because of the ambiguousness of his starting spot, right? Because Daniel Jones is the starter. So because Daniel Jones is weak and coming off a torn ACL and having the career threatening neck injury a couple years ago that popped back up, like, Lock has to go to the very, very top, as you may have a starter in Drew Lock to start the season. But you also could have a situation where they draft a QB. Now it's like, man, they can't dump Daniel Jones this year, but they signed Drew Lock to be the backup. So it's a weird situation where they'll have three QBs, a rookie, Daniel Jones, and Drew Lock, and who the heck knows what it's going to look like from a starting standpoint next year. So obviously you have to roster Lock and Jones, but this is a true wild card situation with the Giants. The Jets. So the Jets still have Zach Wilson. They have Tyrod Taylor. They signed as their backup, and Aaron Rodgers as a starter. So it's going to be Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor. They're not going to keep Zach Wilson. I've already mentioned Zach Wilson a couple times as a candidate to maybe go to the Chiefs, maybe go to one of these other situations, the 49ers, who knows. But they're a candidate to move Zach Wilson to a team that needs a backup. Before they trade him, I'd like to get some Zach Wilson. Again, I can't believe I'm saying I want to get some Zach Wilson, but I do. I do, especially if he goes to the Chiefs. He'll be a high-priority backup if he goes to the Chiefs. So try to get him before he's moved. Eagles, straightforward. They just traded for Kenny Pickett. Jalen Hurts is their starter. Kenny Pickett is their backup. You can cut Tanner McKee. I was holding some Tanner McKee, thinking they used a pick on him last year. They may give him a shot to be the backup, but nope. He can go, cut all my Tanner McKees right when I saw that move happen. So clear cut starter and backup in Philly. Steelers. So the Steelers traded Kenny Pickett to Philly. So now they have Russell Wilson. They lost Mason Rudolph to the Titans. So right now the Steelers have Russell Wilson. This is a prime landing spot for a team to bring in another QB. If I had to bet, the odds that their backup QB is someone other than Ryan Tannehill, notice the Ryan Tannehill who's still sitting out there with Arthur Smith, the clear Tannehill connection with Smith, along with the potential of Justin Fields going there. So either one, if I had to bet, probably 75% chance that the starter and the backup for the Steelers looks like Russell Wilson and either Ryan Tannehill or Justin Fields to start the season. So keep it open. Definitely on the list if they're going to add another one, though. The Niners, another one that's going to add another one. They lost Sam Darnold to the Vikings. And right now they have Brock Purdy and Brandon Allen. Brandon Allen is a prototypical third QB. They probably like him as essentially an extension of Kyle Shanahan, somebody that helps Brock Purdy, but not a backup. Brandon Allen is not a backup QB. So this is another team that I have on the list, is they're absolutely going to bring in a backup QB. Don't know who it is. I honestly don't even know what fit would be good. Could this be a Tannehill spot? I thought this might be a Jimmy Garoppolo spot, but Jimmy Garoppolo already went to the Rams, which I skipped over the Rams. I don't know how I missed the Rams, but I'll go back to him in a second. But Jimmy Garoppolo went to the Rams. So I think the Niners are another team that maybe they go after a Nick Mullins, potentially, if the Vikings draft a QB. But the Niners are a team that is open, and talk about the honeypot landing spot for a backup QB. Whoever it is, you got to get them. Have to get them. We have seen this offense literally elevate any QB that's in it. So you want to get any backup QB that the Niners bring in. And I don't want to add Brandon Allen yet, but there may be a point in time where I go, maybe they're crazy enough to actually have Brandon Allen as their backup. I think it's insane, but you have to at least keep it on your radar. But for now, I'm not adding him. And I skipped over the Rams, Matt Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo. They signed Jimmy Garoppolo, an absolutely golden starter and backup situation. So well done for the Rams. Last few teams here before we end it, the Seahawks. So they traded for Sam Howell. So just like The Eagles trading for Kenny Pickett. The Cardinals trading for Desmond Ridder. You have Sam Howell getting traded to the Seahawks to be the backup to Geno Smith. Now, here's the thing with Sam Howell, is he's almost carrying like starter slash very high-end backup prices. I don't want to buy into Sam Howell just yet. I think that time is gone. Where you had to buy Sam Howell is when he got competition in Washington, when they signed their backup QB. You should have got Sam Howell. It's too late now, because there's legit people out there saying he's going to start over Geno Smith. I don't buy that, but I think he becomes maybe probably the highest valued backup QB in the league. And that generally is almost a starter price. And I don't want to pay for that. I'd love to get more Sam Howell, but I don't want to pay damn near low-end starter price for him because it's ambiguous, because he has a big name. He's got a little fantasy upside. Like, the mix is pretty good for him if he gets in there. If Sam Howell was announced the starter, you would value him over about half a dozen starters in the league right away. Even if they have jobs today and he doesn't, he's probably the highest-end backup QB in the league. But very straightforward, Geno Smith, Sam Howell for the Seahawks. The Buccaneers, I have them on a list as a team that could add a QB. They still have Kyle Trask. They did sign John Wolford, and they have Baker Mayfield. This is very similar to the Saints, where they have John Wolford, just like the Saints signed Nathan Peterman. They have an incumbent backup, Jake Haener, Kyle Trask, but I'm not sure either of those guys are good. So this is a team I put on the list, could bring in a backup QB. It'd be interesting if they brought in Carson Wentz. That'd be interesting. But there's a team that I have on the list of potentially adding another QB. Don't know who that is. Could it be a guy like Tannehill? I don't know. Could it be Josh Dobbs? I don't know. There's a lot of options that could be out there. But I do think they're on the list to add one. So for now, I will roster Kyle Trask, but he's probably like on the very, very, very bottom end of guys that I would roster. The Titans. So the Titans have Will Levis. They brought in Mason Rudolph, who I think at least earned a backup job from last year. So Mason Rudolph's the backup. They have Malik Willis as a third QB. I had a couple Malik Willises. I was interested in them getting him being stashed. Not anymore. It's a new regime. They didn't draft Malik Willis. This is probably a guy that I can honestly see getting moved. This could be the kind of guy, maybe he goes to the Ravens as a backup elsewhere, but not on the Titans. I'm fine cutting Malik Willis, but you know what? If you said, hey, I want to roster him to see what they do with him, because he doesn't fit what they have there now. He does not fit Brian Callahan's offense. So I'm guessing Brian Callahan's probably sitting there going like, can we exchange Malik Willis for like the seventh or eighth offensive lineman on our team? Can we get a backup guard for Malik Willis? They'd be willing to move him for something that helps him. Hey, you have a need, Baltimore. Hey, we have a need here over in Tennessee. We need our backup center. Something like that. We need a special team ace that also can play nickel corner in an emergency. Like something where both teams just go, I don't need what I have. I have excess. We'll trade you. So I think that's what happens with Malik Willis. So if you don't want to cut him for that, then fine. But I've cut a couple shares already just because I don't think that move probably happens anytime soon. Then the last team is the Commanders. Just like the Patriots, just like the Broncos, they're in a situation where they only have one quarterback right now, which is Marcus Mariota. They're going to draft a quarterback. They're going quarterback at two. Whoever that is, I don't know, but they're going to quarterback. So Mariota's the backup. Whoever they draft is going to be the starter. That starter has a pathway where they're going to start right away, no matter who it is. And that's it. They have Jake Fromm on their roster, but not interested in him. So this one's very straightforward, but absolutely 1,000% the Commanders are going to add a high-end quarterback out there entering the season. So that is it. All 32 teams, we went through their backup situations. Right now, I'm looking at my Dynasty portfolio, and I am currently rostering a total of 64 different quarterbacks. And I'm going through my list, and that basically covers what? Every starter and every backup on every team. Now, there's some on here where they are kind of the hedge bets, like Skylar Thompson, Jake Haener. Like, those guys are right on the fringe. Like, I have 12 shares of Skylar Thompson. I have 11 shares of Jake Haener. I'm kind of betting they win the backup job. If they don't, that's probably 12 or 11 roster spots that I'm wasting currently on those guys. Then I have some guys out there that are free agents. Tyler Huntley, still a free agent. Other guys we already mentioned in the show that could get moved. Zach Wilson, Ryan Tannehill, still a free agent. Other guys that could get moved. Somebody like Malik Willis, Josh Dobbs, still a free agent. So you kind of have these guys that are in no man's land. And by my calculation, there's currently only five teams right now to where their depth charts are set up where they don't have a backup that I would roster. But all of those five teams, the Broncos, the Raiders, well, the Raiders have two guys, but the Broncos, the Commanders, 49ers and Steelers could add a backup. The Chiefs can add a backup. And then a couple other teams with the fringe guys that they're going to draft one. So you have these teams, you have to figure that six quarterbacks are going to get drafted in a range this year where they are immediately the starter and or the backup. So do the math. There's going to be some guys that end up getting cut. You know, the Sean Cliffords of the world, the Malik Cunninghams of the world, the Easton Sticks of the world. I'll hold on to them now just because there isn't anybody else. But a couple of those guys, I'm already kind of betting they can go. Easton Stick can go. Jaren Hall can go once they signed a backup quarterback in Minnesota or once they draft one in Minnesota potentially. So you get the idea. This is a fluid thing. These jobs change overnight. You know, Justin Fields gets traded, it'll shift somebody's depth chart. Zach Wilson gets traded, it could shift somebody's depth chart. Six quarterbacks get drafted in ranges where they're a backup or a starter. It's going to shift the depth chart. So keep an eye on it, but hopefully everybody kind of understands the strategy and this is helpful to glean exactly what I'm doing with my any quarterback on a two deep portfolio. With that, we will go ahead and end it here. I want to give a special plug tomorrow night on Dynasty Trades in Five. It is an episode you will not want to miss. We have the one and only Fantasy Receipts coming on the show. You will not see his face. You will not hear his real voice, but he will be on the show. Talking dynasty trades, talking dynasty theory, probably roasting some content creators out there, including, I fully expect there's going to be some old takes of mine and Shane's and maybe even Clay's that are thrown up there. Don't know. Nothing's going to be out of bounds on that show. So tune into that 8:30 Eastern time tomorrow night, March 19th. Fantasy Receipts will be live on Dynasty Trades in Five, talking all things Dynasty. Subscribe, like the channel, YouTube feed, podcast feed. Give us feedback. Let us know if there's anything else you want to see. Consume the videos and content from all the other content creators on Destination Devi. And with that, good luck getting stuff done post-free agency and pre-NFL draft. Enjoy it. Enjoy this time of year. The season will be here before you know it. And I will go ahead and sign off for the week. Beecho. I